Let me let you know what I've been on. I separate detonators instead of false smoke alarms. Your existence isn't proper pawns. On the board of life, it took me eons to see the light that was right there. For those women alone can be a nightmare. From a distance, I see why it's no hype there. All those outstanding barks turning to cheap shots and side remarks. I can't hear the slick talk, but I feel it. Only time when you see in my side, they reveal it. They can't conceal it. Once I built my own kitchen, grew my own crop, I couldn't be stopped. Got them jittery and jumpy, real like pop rocks. When the firehouse go through, get them ducking like champagne pop. The game changes, when you a one-stop shop. I say to y'all about time, but I've been this hot.
Word is, people saying I should just stick to producing.
Yo, that's how you start the show. It's the Nami show. Look at us.
The cartoon. And
I'm Shoot the Artist.
I'm No Face Rail.
I'm Nesrine the Sea Moss Queen.
I'm Pyro Lucane.
And this is the Nami show. Yay. Listen, y'all. Today we got a wonderful guest. We got Pyro Lucane in the building.
What's up, y'all?
You know,
it's good.
You know how it go, y'all. You know, Pyro. How's it been, bro? You back in town?
Yeah.
You be back and forth here to there. You know, let the people know how this journey began. You know, if y'all don't know, he a producer / rapper.
Oh snap!
Yeah. So. Alright, so I'm gonna bring it all the way back, you know, if we got time.
Yeah, go
you
know ahead.
But I wanna say like the journey started when I was like fairly young. Like if I had to put an age on it, I wanna say like between 5 and 6. Mm. That's when I started to notice like sound, like how it actually made me feel and how I would see what it do to other people and by the time I was 5 or 6, like that was like the golden era of, you know, of all hip hop. Like, you know what I'm saying? So like I'm catching all the heat in the crib, I'm catching all the heat on the street, I'm catching all the heat, you know what I'm saying, with family. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So it was just all the way around. And as I got older, like, and I started to see my family, you know, actively in the business and stuff, so I was like, yo, one day I'm actually getting the business, but I don't know what I want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and actually, like, I actually made that decision when I went to my first concert. My first ever concert was the Rough Riders and Cash Money tour down at the Pepsi Arena.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's
that was my first one. I was 8 years old. My father took me. My mom was pissed.
I bet.
She was pissed. But I was just standing just dumbfounded, just looking at, like, I was just watching these guys on TV last night, yesterday. And, you know, back then, you don't see, you know, it's not like now where it's like an Instagram or you go to the city, you randomly see somebody, like, yeah, or they just chilling, like, nah, like, it was really, like, a gatekeep, like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, when you seen them, it's like,
that royalty.
Exactly. So, it's like, so when I actually was watching that, and when I was watching the Cash Money set, and, you know, because they actually opened up for Rough Riders, really, but it wasn't like they opened up, but, you know,
it was like the intro.
Yeah, I would say certain nights, Rough Riders will go on first, and then Cash Money will go on. You know what I'm saying? So, honestly, I'm actually pretty sure it actually probably swapped. But on that particular night, like, when I seen X, when the dude came from the back of the Pepsi Arena in a freaking human-sized cage, on a tightrope, and it was swinging all the way through until it got to the stage. Wow. He was literally in the sky, literally, like wilding, like it was crazy. So as soon as he got to the stage, as soon as that gate opened, Rough Riders Anthem came on. I couldn't even hear.
Wow.
Wow. Like, I had to put my hand, I couldn't even hear because it was just pain. It was just pandemonium. And then I said, from that point, I said, yo, like, whatever it is I got
to
do.
Yeah, to get that effect.
I need that.
I want that.
I need that.
Like, or to even, not even that effect, just to be in the vicinity to where it's like, I'm actually that important to be back there.
Yeah.
That's
like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't got to, like, be, like, on the stage or nothing like that, but just actually being a part of history. Like, you know what I'm saying? So that's really all I wanted. So growing up, I always wanted to make my own history because I knew, you know, I knew probably, like, I want to say, like, around that time, like, I knew that's what I really wanted to do. But there were just other things that I was into at the time, like basketball and all that, you know, kids stuff.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it's not like now where you can go get, like, a little setup for your son or your daughter and you just have, and you could teach them how to record. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like that back then.
You really had to go to the studio, you had find to somebody, the owner, plug them in, find the actual time they got to bring your kid in or whatever. And hopefully they might let you do it for free.
Studio time was like $100 an hour.
Yeah.
Like, and this is back when it was recording on tape. So you had
like
to pay
the
for
magnetic
your own tape.
Yeah.
You had to So back then, like, you had to pay for your own tape back then. You know what I'm saying? This is right out the tape phase going into computer. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I was actually in studios while they was using real tape, while they was, like, recording two real tapes. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes I had to carry real tapes. And depending on how, like, you know, depending on how big, pause, you know what I'm saying, it was, like, it just was heavy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was heavy. So, like, I had to carry crates, DJ crates, like, DJ equipment. Like, this was all my intro. Like, okay.
That's
like
your training.
Once the word got out that I wanted to get into music, oh, okay.
We're going to make you work for it, for real.
Yeah, we're going to work. Yeah, nah, you're going to work. Forget all that other stuff. Like, you're going to work.
You want this? All right.
Yeah, that's what it was. So, and on top of that, like, just learning how to just simply record off the radio. Like, just simply just make tapes. I used to make tapes.
Like,
I used to do that.
Like, I remember that I used to have, like, my MP3 and I'll press, like, record.
Yeah,
to the radio.
Stopping the play button or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And was even other, like, my dad had me making tapes because we was the only ones that really could afford CDs in the hood. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because back then, CDs was $20.
Mm. Wait, a pack?
Nah, I'm talking about for one CD.
Like, to sell it?
Nah, yeah.
Oh, that's what I was about to
say. Yeah.
He was buying a CD or wanted to sell one, it was
$20. Yeah, like nah, so, yeah, so, in like, CDs was $20, tapes was, like, $10-$15. So, anybody who didn't, like, so, let's say if I, so, Life After Death was a double album, right?
Yeah.
So I had to sit through that to record it on tape while my dad sold it for $10.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you know what I mean? So that wasn't, like, the main source, but that was, like, you know, that was the thing because everybody knew that we had the music. Like, my mom was the mixtape queen. My dad was the album king. So it's like
match made in album.
So, like, you know what I mean? So that's how I know a lot of these songs that, like, you know, my elders be like, how do you know? I'm singing it word for word and they don't know it. They just know it because they was living at that time.
Yeah.
I know the words.
I know the song.
Yeah, and they look at me like, how you know? Like, yo, I sit and break it down to them. Like, yo, I used to sit and make tapes for my dad. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so
I had to listen to
that. I had to sit and listen.
And then if you messed up once, you had to, like, start all over again or, like,
Yeah, like, basically, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
So I can't front. I definitely burnt out a few Maxwell tapes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I can't
like copy and paste and wrote, no, delete that. Nah, it was re-record.
Yeah, nah, like, once it came to the digital phase, I was moving through that because I was already moving through the analog.
Yeah,
as a kid.
Did the physical part.
I already did the physical work. So that's why now, bring it all the way up to now, right? Like, that's why, like, I have a drum machine. Like, that's why I have, like, a turntable with mad vinyl and things of that nature. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I actually want to, like, actually get into it. You know what I'm saying? Right. Pause. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, now with all the digital stuff, it makes it sound, like, watery. So, like, now I had to go back and really get these machines and to make it sound like how I want to sound. Like, you know what I'm saying? To mix it with the digital.
That's
why it works.
So who, like, which producer did you see that really inspired you to go forward? You know, like, you know, because out of the many, you know.
I'm all right, so I'm gonna bring it up to like when I made my decision as an elder teen to really like this is what I want to do in my life. Cause you know when I said it at you know when you 8, 9,
yeah.
Usually things don't stick.
Yeah.
But it stuck. Like you know what I'm saying. But honestly, it really had to stick because of the family.
Yeah.
Because I was always around them. Like you know what I'm saying. Like back when Chaz and them used to perform at Cross Gates and all that.
What, NTS?
Yeah. Like we used to get ran out the mall. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't, like, we didn't even have no deal, like, no nothing. It wasn't, like, that was all real love. Like, we used to get ran out of mall, like, by the girls. Like I remember, like, I was going to Ash, and I had, like, the NTS tee, and I had a picture in the locker with, like, all of us.
Yeah.
And then, like, a random girl was like, oh, my God, like, you know them? I said, those are my cousins. but it's a normal thing though.
Yeah.
Like so we was trained like to like how we was all brought up, like all that stuff that like what may seem normal to us isn't normal to y'all.
Yeah.
So that's why they act the way they did, because we was doing things that they never seen before. And also it has yet to be duplicated.
Yeah.
And it probably will never be.
Yeah,
because of the time when it happened.
Right,
yeah, this was like early 2000s.
This was like, all right. So it all started with PPM. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? With you know, like with Unk when he had his crew. Like you know what I'm saying? So that was like, if I remember, it had to be like the whole start of it, like summer of '98.
Mm.
Like
that was a huge year in music too.
Yeah, exactly. So that was when everything formed. So I remember when it was the first video that they shot at the Blackfest. We're all in it as kids with the PPM family shirts on.
Wow.
Yeah, I was on the stage and stuff. Yeah.
Nah, no. This is before that. This is before that. This is 1998. This is when the BET cameras came down in their vans that said BET Black Star Power on it.
Wow.
Like that's how real it get.
Damn.
So that's why I mean like it'll never be duplicated again.
Yeah.
Cause that was something like next level at that time.
Yeah.
So when it mattered.
Exactly.
That's a fact, you know? So
there was a shift going on there, and y'all were a part of it. So
you seen that.
That's crazy. That's so dope to experience.
That's for real. You know, that's literally history. And
literally.
I need to get
so
a documentary.
Fire.
Yeah, nah, I say it all the time, like, we're spoiled.
Yeah.
We are spoiled. Like, we had our own studio since we was kids. Never had to pay for studio time, really. Unless we wanted to go somewhere just because.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? We always had, like, cameras and we always had everything from kids. Like now that we have our own kids and we're, and I'm saying we're older, and we sit back like, damn, like we really, really had a lot. But also, you could tell because it carries on within each of us.
Yeah.
Like me, Zeus, Chaz, you know what I'm saying, Seam, Dange, like all of us. So it definitely worked out.
So my question to you as a producer / rapper, how do you feel about this new AI coming out that's taking people's beats and voices and making totally new songs? Like, how would you feel someone take your voice and put it on the Can't Get Enough by Michael Jackson?
Yo.
Can't Get Enough. I would laugh. I would laugh. My tail off. I would laugh. But I would be like, all right, there's no way that they could really profit off of it for that long. Pause. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I'ma see where it goes and be pissed, but it's definitely gonna be a cease and desist going on. Like, it's not gonna go far. Cause honestly, like, I make music like all day, every day. Like you know what I'm saying? So all these things are bound to happen.
Yeah.
Like, just like how I rip, like, you know, stuff from Atlantic Star and BT Express, like, you know what I'm saying? And I use it in my music, like, you know what I'm saying? But with the AI, it's a little bit different. But I just got to think on both standpoints because, you know, I sample too. And I, you know, I don't want to say steal, but, you know, I politically borrow. So, so I get it. Like, it was, we actually seen these things from mile, like, we seen it from a mile away. Like, I think about it, like, the automated messaging back in the day. Like, all this was set up.
I am.
Exactly, yep.
It was set up 20 years ago.
True.
Because you got to think about it. All this stuff takes 20 to 25 years to develop.
Mature.
Yeah, so they can bring it to public.
Yeah, it's been here. So, you know, like, I wouldn't really trip about it, but I would definitely do some investigation. Like, all right, you guys had enough fun.
I mean, would you use it for your production?
Nah.
Would you ever, like, never?
Nah, if I, like, especially when the, all right, so, I see where you're getting at. The dude, I'm sorry, the legend, Timbaland, did the AI with the Biggie's voice and all that, and stuff like that. So this dude, like, you know what I'm saying, he's actually hype about putting, you know, that out because he actually didn't have the time or the privilege to work with Biggie.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a type of person like, yo, if I can't work with you in the flesh, then I can't do
it. Over. Yeah, that's true. It wasn't meant to be.
It wasn't meant.
It's like, the experience you want. Not,
yeah, exactly. Like,
not just your
honestly,
energy.
If the dude Big was still alive, and honestly, he's my favorite rapper of all time, like, if it was a situation where I was in the studio with him, like, yeah, it would be music, but I would want to know more, like, game from him. I would want to know, like, more of the background story that wasn't told. Like, I want to know more of him. Like, you know, especially, he would have been 52.
Yeah.
So it's like I would have loved to really sat and just get game from him. That's I don't even got to, like, of course, we're going to make music. We're going to make music regardless, but I want to get that game. I want to get that knowledge. And if I can't be in the studio to get that from you, then I don't want to steal your vocals. And because you got to think about the family. You got to think about the kids. You got to think about his mother.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so what about the money? She got mad money, like, over chilling somewhere.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So she not worried about that.
With that.
Yeah, right. She said that her son is not here.
Even hear what was made.
Yeah, like. And on top of that, she's still here. He's not.
Thanks.
So it's like, come on, like, forget everything else. You got to think about Mama Love, man. Like,
and the kids.
And the kids, yeah. And the kids, and the family, yeah.
So, and they try to play like, oh, but they'll want to hear his voice again.
Nah. Like, well,
goes into the term of, like, unethical. It's like you digitally bringing someone back from the dead.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, what's the ethic and morals on that?
It's like, all right, so my dad passed in 2019. So it's like, sometimes I can't look at pictures of him. Sometimes I can't hear his voice. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes I can't watch videos, you know what I'm saying, that he was in. Like, even though he's been, like, gone for 3 years, whatever, like, but it still feel like it happened yesterday.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like I can't even look at that stuff. Like, I remember, like, you know, I had to tell my mom one time. I was like, Mom, like, you know, I can't even look at that right now. I can't even see videos with him and my daughter. I can't see none of that right now. Like, and this was like last year.
Yeah, facts.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm still like that. You know what I'm saying? Every so often I may, like, you know, peek at, like, probably, like, a couple seconds of it. But after that, it's like, all right, because I'm going to start getting mad because all the stuff that I'm doing, he's not here.
Facts.
So it's like, yeah, I can't even.
Scab, like, all over again.
Yeah, I can't even do that.
So we seen with your, the campaign that you ran, like, a few years ago, it was saying not for the algorithm.
This was actually recently.
Recently.
This is within the last couple months.
I took a real good look at that, and I like that type of work because it's all about your passion, and you could go a little bit deeper into, like, as far as what you was pushing there.
I'm still pushing it. Yeah. It's just now. So basically, like, not for the algorithm is, it speaks for itself, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna go a little bit deeper. So, not for the algorithm is for the creatives who actually put their heart and their art on their sleeve. You know what I'm saying? So, that's me.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it's for you because you paint.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's for you. I'm pretty sure it's for everyone who's a real down-hard creative who actually want to display their art and actually want people to make feel like to actually make people feel what you felt while making it.
Yeah.
So it's not about the money, because at the end of the day, like, you know, like I want to say, like, the passionate always prospers.
Yeah.
So it's like, so the money's always, the notoriety is going to be there, but when we get there, it's going to be bigger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, so like, I had to really take it upon myself and be like, forget the numbers, forget everything that what they want to, like, you know, like, to make me feel like I may be not that good or inferior of my talent. Like, nah, like, I'm we're not doing that.
Yeah.
So it's like, all you're going to do is, as soon as I hit a certain mark, as soon as you hit a certain comma in your bank account off me, you off to the next.
Yeah.
Nah. So it's like, nah, we're not doing that either. So not for the algorithm, is for those that who actually wear their art and wear their heart and their art on their sleeve. And who's not worried about the numbers, who's not worried about nothing, who just, but there's a twist. You actually got to know your business too.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Know your business so you cannot care about the algorithm.
Facts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a fact. You know,
like, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't
talk
worry
that
about
talk, sir.
Don't worry
yeah,
about
facts. So before we get into the episode 16, one last question I want to ask Pyro. Speaking on the business part, what advice would you give up and coming producers and rappers as far as the business terms? Like, what paperwork or documents should they get in order before they really try to monetize their work out there?
All right. One word that I want to put out there, perpetuity. Do y'all know what perpetuity means?
Forever.
There you go. If you see that word, all right. If you see that word, perpetuity, in a contract, run.
For the hills.
It means forever. They're not going to give you nothing back until they feel like they want to give it back to you. And usually, when you get your masters back, it's actually not worth nothing to them, because they already juiced it up for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, perpetuity, stay away from that word.
Bruh.
Now, another side. If you're actually independent and you go on soundexchange.com, I think it's .org. Sorry, guys.
It's .org. Yeah.
It's .org. Thank you.
I love where you're going with this, because I've been pushing this for so long. So keep talking. King.
So, right. So, all right. This is for my rappers out here, right? So if you have songs out that's on Apple Music or whatever, right? Go claim your songs before another company claims your stuff.
Yes.
Because if another company claims your stuff, you're not gonna see nothing. Like, it could be a company from New Zealand that gets your stuff. It could be a company from West Africa. It could be from Indonesia. It don't gotta be in the United States. Mm. There are people overseas that's actually looking to get unclaimed music and unclaimed publishing.
Yes, I've been.
So go claim your songs on Sound Exchange.
Mm.
Now, as soon as you claim, it's gonna probably take probably like a couple days to a week until you get the email, and it's gonna show you all. It's gonna show you all your songs, and it's gonna ask you, the word perpetuity. Well, it's not going to ask you about the word. It's going to tell you, like, you know, it's going to more so be like, oh, do you want this to go on forever? Yes, because it's yours.
Yeah.
You the one who distributed it. You know what I'm saying? Nobody else did. You know what I mean? So it's like perpetuity. Stay away from that word. And also, too, don't look for record deals. Look for digital marketing agencies, because reason being, a lot of your money from the label goes to marketing anyway.
Yes.
Cut them out.
Distribution deals.
And I'm glad you brought that up. I just got a new distribution deal with The Orchard.
Okay.
That's fire.
Yes,
no.
Sir.
Thank you. So, like I said, like, even though, like, you know, there's gonna be like, oh man, you talking too much. Da, 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 da. That's fine. But at the end of the day, like, I would rather see my people come up to really, right, like, to really own their stuff. Like,
yeah.
So what if you feel like it ain't worth nothing right now? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it is worth something, but if you feel like it's not worth nothing, okay. That is your thoughts.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you can take that same stuff that's really not worth nothing and put it in movies,
anywhere,
games. Like, they could come right to you.
Yeah.
So And that's an, and why would you sell your catalog when you could license it to the world?
Yeah, rented it.
Like, I've been telling artists that I know, get your BMI, get your ASCAP. What are y'all doing out here pushing music? Y'all don't own y'all nothing.
BMI is free. ASCAP is a $100 fee, I think it is. I think
it's $100.
$100, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And for your publishing, SongTrust.
Yup.
That artist, your intellectual property.
Speak on it.
Publishing. SongTrust, we, like, that's where you get the money. Hmm. The digital master isn't a lot of money. Your publishing is where the money is.
So y'all busy going through DistroKid and what's the other one? United Masters. Do y'all got your BMI?
Yeah,
that's the important
one.
They
still owning you.
Yeah,
still
yeah.
owned by somebody. Mm-hmm. Protect your worth, man. Yes, I love you talking about that. It makes you feel good.
Yeah, nah, because at the end of the day, like, somebody like myself who's on the rise, who's actually going through these things, but I don't talk about them publicly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I'm able to talk about them, like, right now, like,
yeah.
I'm going to talk about it.
Facts.
Because these are things that y'all are going to go through. May if, like, if I could save one kid from going through some BS, then I'm good.
That's a fact. Yeah. You know, I hope y'all taking in these
good
insights from Pyro about how to get your music on lock. Yeah. You know, because
I'm not here to hide the plug. Like, I'm not here to hide that. I'm not here
to hide you know, you hear plenty of stories how a lot of these musicians, rappers, look at TLC.
Oh,
you
man.
Feel me? Totally lazy and cheap. You know, listen.
Bruh.
Not them.
The deal that they signed was totally lazy and cheap.
Yeah.
You
well,
know?
Also, but you, all right, okay. All right.
They didn't have any knowledge of the industry.
Exactly.
And they were so eager to get on at that. You got to understand, this is
power.
1990, 91.
Yes.
Like, this isn't the internet era where we can just go get distribution deals like that.
Yes.
We have to go to the label, and they've been outsourcing from the gate.
Mm.
So it's like, so at the end of the day, it's like I can't, like, I actually,
I mean, you
blame.
Can
it's a,
you
it's
can
a
50-50 use them as an example of what not to do.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, look at what them. Yeah, I'm
they'll
gonna learn from
you.
Them. Facts.
Hey, they'll sit here and be like,
"Don't sign up through
Negro." No.
Yeah. Facts.
Like,
no. So getting into our community insights, you know, shout out to Pyro for the wonderful insights. We're gonna get Matt back more onto him,
yes, sir,
when the economy talk happens. Listen, you know,
tongue tied.
Facts, you know. So how y'all feel about the smoke in the air from the Canada wildfires, y'all? Like, I got asthma. Today I was
some
playing.
Some CMOS. Y'all lungs are inflamed and irritated from the particles.
I know.
Particles.
I'm going to need some CMOS for real.
I got you.
CMOS. Get y'all mullein. You
yeah,
feel me?
Get
y'all Thai lemongrass. Get y'all Tulsa detox. Come on now.
I got the plug on the tees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
Going into this fire situation, though. Like,
you know, apparently. Hey,
what's going on? Like,
apparently, it was a couple hundred wildfires that happened up in the Canada area, you know, like, I think it's by like Nova Scotia. Apparently they had an extremely dry season, which caused the nearby forest or wood to catch on fire, which caused a massive smoke cloud to come and bother the upper northern eastern states.
I'm not really good at geography.
That doesn't make sense.
It gets even worse. Look, how far is Nova Scotia from Toronto?
It's like on the side.
It's on the same?
Yeah, it's like you got to go through New England. Yeah. It's like above
because,
New England.
Like, because Toronto is also was where they had really, really terrible air quality. I was checking out the map, and it was more so like right on that where like the Niagara Falls area is coming into like New York State. Mm-hmm. Air quality is crappy. But where the fires were, the air was fine.
Yeah, because it brought it down. The wind brought it downstream.
Like,
so instead of it like just, it's just being
sitting
smoke
there,
and it just sitting there and dispersing, the wind was taking it down to us. And now when it got to us, it hit the city, it's stopping. It was like, oh.
Definitely in New York City, too.
We chilling.
That shit look like the orange soda.
Sun-kissed.
Look like orange soda.
Got kissed,
like
you
apocalypse.
Know?
Yeah.
Definitely give apocalypse vibes. But people were like, why is it so bad in the city? I'm like, the city has no trees barely to filter the air.
Yeah. Central Park is it.
And those buildings.
Yeah, but that's only one section.
Yeah. And those buildings are trapping all those air particles like a microwave right in there. And it's going to sit. Mm-hmm. It's going to sit there for.
Yeah, they're going to start cooking and baking.
And now it's getting. Now it cleared up a little bit, but. If you live in a big city with this air like that,
I mean, we lucky because this a valley right here, so it gotta go up and then down and stuff like that. First, the city is just exposed right to the ocean and the water, and it's just exposed, you know. But then it's like a couple months from now, let's see what happens to the wildlife.
I don't have a necessary theory on everything because I look and see, I read stuff too deep, so I'm like, boom. Let's just say hypothetically. These fires weren't started on their own. They were encouraged to start.
Mm.
Boom. That just happened, right?
Hidden agenda.
Now, you finna inflame and destroy millions of acres of land, right? Right? You do that. Now that land goes to what? Who's gonna live there?
Farming.
Somebody gonna buy it and redo it.
Yeah.
Okay. Redevelopment. All right. So now. You done took this land from people who could live there and do whatever with it. Now you going to use it for the government, Canadian government. Okay, cool. Now you done burnt up the land, right? Crazy. In the air. Toxic. Chemicals. Dirt. Whatever. In the air. Gets in our lungs. Now we can't breathe. Rain comes down. Stuff in the air hits the soil. Guess what you just did? You done tainted the food source from the soil.
Fact.
That's a fact.
And the plants going to go crazy, too. You know?
Yeah. Oh
man.
Yeah. Sorry to be the bearer of bad.
It's right. You are absolutely right. Like absolutely right. I'm just sitting thinking because that's another layer of it. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it's fun now, but a couple months from now, like it's summertime. Sometimes it get hot out here.
It ain't fun.
And it's like if you in the city and it's hot, you can't even use your air conditioner. Imagine you putting your AC on and mad smoke coming in the house. Now you're dead.
Every house has, and all these new buildings have central air, so they're just pumping the air into the building. You can't even get away from it. So
I was about to ask, is it filtrated? But it's filtrated when everybody cuts it on through everybody's houses.
Yeah.
You're right.
So
damn.
Yeah. It's so
you're
bad.
All like really in danger right now with the air. Wow. As Chris Brown and what's her name said, tell me how I'm supposed to breathe it up.
Yeah, they said it's been a couple hundred cases going into emergency rooms, especially for like respiratory infections and amongst little kids and the elderly.
That's one thing I didn't hear about the hospital reports.
Yeah, they can't release that right now.
No, that's
not crazy.
Whoa, no. To be fair, when it was COVID-19, every week it was a hospital update.
They had a channel.
No. Every 2 days,
they had a channel for this stuff. Okay?
Thank you. They had their own segment.
Yes.
Yeah.
So why can't they come on? Why can't they release?
The mask is back on too. My mom said everybody in the city got a mask on.
Look
right
like
now,
COVID.
So. I mean, that's the best thing you could do. Or like them K5 masks. My friend had a gas mask on outside. I was like, you're smart.
Yeah.
You gotta get like you.
Yeah, that's a fact.
So it's like when it was, you know, COVID-19, every 2 days, we was getting hit with some heat every 2 days. also Max B getting hit.
50,000 people have been suffering. What?
Oh, yeah. maybe like
overnight.
It's going to be a long term effect.
Definitely is. Know?
That's why I said in the year 2030, when it's going to be the commercial, like, hey, were you living on the eastern seaboard in the year 2023 when the Canadian fire smoke went all the way to the east coast? You may have been exposed to asbestos and all the other crap that's in the...
You can be compensated.
Please sign up here.
Well, in the meanwhile, please shop up for some sea moss to detox your lungs from inflammation.
That's crazy. You got one?
Yeah, so with our community insight, we've seen that Alive at 5... it started its summer series where they have a bunch of performances every Thursday until the summer is over.
Okay.
It's a free event. So we got artists that's local and we got like artists that come from around the world. So definitely tune in for Live at 5 on Thursdays.
That's fire.
I got a tidbit to add about the Live at
5. Yeah, me too. You could go first.
Maybe it's your tidbit.
Nah, my tidbit is that I know the person who, like, the founder, the creator of Live at Five. His name is Bob, and he comes and frequents Cafe Madison often. He has a walker, so if you ever come to Cafe Madison, see Bob at the bar, be like, hey, Bob. Yeah, he's like 60-something, and he gets a check every year for Live at Five. Fire. You know, and just comes and chill.
Well, my
and he has a band.
Fire. Ties into the fire. It's interesting how during this little mini state of emergency, they canceled several events, but allowed a Live at Five to go on during this toxic air spiel. Like they put off a late. They did.
Yeah. Now can you go deeper into these events?
Right, because that's like, what I'm thinking. Who's these events catered to, and who's benefiting off these
events I've seen in the city?
What events got canceled?
I don't know the exact name of them, but please help me.
I'm trying to find something in my brain near that.
But I was like, why would y'all like close schools early, let people out of work early, send people home, but you let in an event that congregates several people in a small air, you know, never mind.
Money.
Political things.
The waterfront.
Political prospering, okay.
Political prospering. There you go.
Live at Five is also a tourist event, too. Like you said, you got artists from around the world pulling up. You got out of town, out of state money pulling up.
These are things that's been booked like for like a year and a half.
Yeah,
bit,
you can't just say no, and then they're like, okay, send the money back. No, we don't got it. We spent it.
They have definitely postponed a Live at Five sometimes for certain reasonings. So
what was the reasons, if you could remember?
COVID.
Oh yeah, see, that's everything is canceled.
Let's just weather permitting purposes, they've canceled a Live at Five. Extreme rain,
that's it, right? And rain COVID, but,
but we have 187 however they measure the air quality, and you won't bring people outside.
They gotta exercise.
Shoot.
They like, well, the air has been polluted anyway. A little X-ray ain't gonna hurt.
Yeah, you know.
You know, the crazy thing
is, bring on the beams.
During this, a few people have been using their grills, and not the regular, you know, like, they've been using, like,
propane
and charcoal grills, like, still making burgers through these events. I be looking at my neighbors like, yo, seriously?
Are you really deranged?
I'm making burgers in the house. Like, I don't want my food, let alone my food gonna taste like the grill.
Yeah.
Good-wise, it's gonna be good.
Yeah.
But when the smoke drops down, it's gonna taste like a bonfire.
Oh, this Canada fire.
It's like, Canadian grill.
Like, Canadian smoke.
You know, like, this burger tastes very smoky.
Oh, that man, it gets Canada crazy, smoke. Yo.
Yo, free. Canada Dry.
Yes.
I got it too.
Canada Dry. Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's really crazy.
Yo,
no.
Yeah.
All right. We got more community insights?
No more.
All right. So we're getting into these topics, y'all. And we got Apple that just came out with their first official virtual reality set. You know, it's called, what, Vision iOS or something like that? Level one. And basically, you could put the glasses on or the, I don't even know what to call it. Yeah, goggles on. And basically, all the apps that will be on your iPad or your iPhone will be there too. But then you could also have like a virtual iPhone in your hand as well. So you could pick it up, all that, and it don't take up space.
That is some scurry
stuff. I can't front. I'm buying into that.
I mean, for a creator, yeah, I can see the really potential use cases for that. Like, for me, I'm an artist. I can make so many digital art pieces, NFTs, and don't take up physical space, where I could just put in the physical, I mean, virtual
cloud.
Art gallery, you know? Or, like, cloud. You making music.
To be honest, like, they're just competing with the metaverse situation. Like, you know, well, even though I'm pretty sure, like, their goggles may be linked to the metaverse, or they might be, I don't know. Because, you know, what's the joint called? The Oculus.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's a thing right now. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, they're like, okay, I'm actually pretty sure that Steve left VR, you know,
Blueprint.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he left this before he died. I'm 100% sure that these were in his plans. So, you know, sometimes other companies beat you to the punch because of the trend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they're doing it as they're going to make it like for like life use.
Facts.
Like Oculus is just for if you're in the metaverse doing stuff like in shows,
gaming.
This is good. Like there's life shit. Yeah, real life.
And then it's like this has the potential to also replace phones. Like there's so many technologies that's competing with the handheld phone right now.
Virtual life, man. Y'all trying to put me in a digital bubble. I ain't going. I like skin, man. I mean, tangible stuff.
Yeah.
I get that, but
tangibility will never be overturned. I mean,
it's giving video game. It's giving.
Look at the glasses Pyro wearing now. You can't tell me the fifth, sixth generations won't be some portable thing where you have like you know your AirPod case. You have your eyeglasses case, and you can just put it on like.
You seeing stuff literally like.
Okay.
Oh, somebody calling you. Oh, what's up? What happened? Oh, yeah.
They already have that, don't they?
I feel like my phone is convenient enough.
You could connect that to your phone. So whatever notifications
it's making
pop up,
people just pop rely up on, you know, the
technology
more and making them
making you really dependent and you don't want to do something for yourself and it's making you turn into a zombie.
I mean, don't use it by the as government. A consumer. Right. Yeah. Use it from a business standpoint.
But I want to interject because back to community into community insight because I was at an art gallery in Wappinger Falls. Alex Gray. Y'all ever heard of the artist Alex Gray? So he invented something called the Mindfold back in the early 80s, which has a similar design to the Oculus.
Yeah.
Which gives me these weird vibes that, yo, what if he sold his design to like a company?
Or they copied it.
And they just
copied
been,
it. Or
they just been.
Yeah.
And he's eating off
got,
of that.
Okay, all right, okay. You got to think about it, right? So back in the day, Sega Genesis used to have the virtual joint. Goggle joint. The virtual games, the goggles has been here.
Like even Nintendo with like the Duck Hunt stuff. That's one of the Bring first back Duck Hunt.
Like all this stuff has been here, but they just brought it back to figure out how to equate it to life now.
Yeah.
Or they been new. They were just rolling it out by little.
They made it better for the consumer.
Because you got because it's like okay, like people think like the Oculus is a new thing. Yeah, it's a new thing but as far as like the overall landscape of it, that's been here.
Yeah,
like, military been using that technology. What are you talking about?
Exactly. You know,
like I said,
if you go back into the episode where we talked about video games, one of the first video games was military use, so they was using headsets for like the first flight simulators, you know. So this is just reinvented technology. So y'all be careful with that Apple headset.
Or
be careful. You know?
Just be mindful.
It's
go
cool and all, but just be careful and mindful.
Don't let it control you.
You control it.
Mm. Cool. So we seen that the student loan payments is gonna be restarting at the end of August. So we seen that. From the debt ceiling bill that was back in COVID when they had they put the hold on the
the student debt.
Well, it's gonna be restarting back at the end of August. So
get
that budget ready to start
get
paying
that bill. Budget.
Because to be honest, y'all just gonna be paying the interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what they did. Just let the interest. That's crazy.
I don't got them problems.
That's
me neither.
Crazy.
I'm glad I'm paid off and paid up.
I never got into it to begin with.
That's fire. Yay. That's I wish I'd have never did either, but it's okay.
They said you want to take a loan or use the assistance. I'm like, yeah. How much? Yeah, give me the assistance.
Yeah, see,
especially for New York, we got the Excelsior program. You know, so
true.
Fire.
So we seen that. Regal's movie theaters, they just closed the next movie theater. And we're seeing that, you know, less people are going to the movie theaters nowadays with the whole streaming situation and all the different apps. And you can watch a movie right from home.
It's $25 per person. Who's doing that?
And ticket, right?
Who's doing that?
When that 25 could pay 5 months for $5 a month.
Yeah,
you can watch it every day for 120 days.
For free.
I feel like people just go to the movie theaters now just for the experience.
The experience, yeah. If that's the case, then yeah, they need to revamp the whole theater into an experience versus you coming to watch it. Like, they need to have like a video game section. Like, they do.
Now, some theaters have arcades. Nice
arcades.
Yeah, that's why you
it's
know.
It's the chairs for me. If your chairs don't recline, my car gets declined. Because I don't want to be in there sitting all like this.
Yeah, make it really comfy to where spoiled. I don't want to be.
I want to be home.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Yeah, so yeah, so the actual experience of them putting those recliners was the best thing, but COVID messed everything up though. Yeah. Like that killed everything. Like COVID killed everything.
Facts.
Like
it did.
There's nothing
but
you can say.
Out of the
really
ashes of
that,
some new Phoenix things came up. You feel me? Nah, some things had to die off for new things to come about, you know. So
they gonna close the theater down and put some doofy store in the place of it. Watch.
I mean, as long as they, I don't know, when it comes to opening up new stores, they got to do their market research. Y'all go to Crossgates Mall sometimes.
Those
you just see random stores. What is this?
Thank you. They went to what do they call it? An auction. Y'all bought a storage unit. Y'all got the storage unit. Y'all put it in another storage unit in the mall and called it the store.
Wow.
Why do y'all do that?
Oh, wow.
That's what it looks like. It's giving.
That's the whole business model right there.
Yeah.
Listen, that's a business.
One trash, plan, shine it up. We got it all.
Listen, y'all. Seriously. Getting into the, staying on the crazy technology wave, y'all. We got Elon Musk with the Neuralink.
Oh, man.
With the Neuralink.
Put me on to that.
So basically, the Neuralink is basically a chip with a cord that they put on your brain so it could be.
I already don't like it.
Yeah.
So it could be compatible with multiple cellular devices or like your MacBook, your iPad, your iPhone, you know, to the point where you receive a notification, it'll just pop up. You know, or you can answer it just by talking. You like answer. You're like, hello?
See, this goes back to like I was just saying with
I'm straight
with the goggles. Like, I'm good with just my phone.
Yeah, I'm good.
You're doing too much at this point. It's really giving artificial life. It's giving not real, and I don't do that.
And also, they'll be able to track everything from, like, how you eating, how you breathing, you know?
They're already doing that every day. What do you
justify it with ways it can help you in the medical field, you know? Say if you're really obese, they could track you and see directly what you should be cutting down on, you know? Or say if you got someone with a learning disability, it can help cure certain things. So you got Alzheimer's, you know.
She's gonna sign up.
It can help you remember things. No, I'm gonna invest in the company, you know, and see what happens.
But the thing is, how can you put a chip in human flesh for it to maneuver and function correctly without us malfunctioning and dying?
It's just for them to control you through the electricity currents in your body.
Yeah,
you
know? Of course. It's all about tracking and control. Going
back to iRobot, except it's the before iRobot, it's the people version. They could have a kill switch that just turn everybody
exactly.
Some MK Ultra ish. Like, now you just.
And that's it. That's the thing. That's it.
I know. I'm laughing because I believe it. Like, that's
scary,
true. That's just true.
I don't know why I'm hurting you.
Like your car, these push to start cars where they cut your stuff off when you don't pay it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they gonna treat you the same way. Or
you don't
pay
your Neuralink.
You ain't pay your rent this month. Or we gonna cut you off, literally.
Oh nah, I'm good.
Then it's like it gets so deep that even your money, since they trying to enforce Fed now, which is like a Fed Reserve version of Cash App, they trying to take away physical cash. Mm-hmm. So with the Neuralink, you can have your money stashed on there. So all you have to do is just. I don't know. This is the first upgrade. They might have a hand upgrade or something where you just scan it and it just pay for whatever. Yeah. Boom.
I'm so good.
Or they can see
my own currency.
Also,
I want to get it in.
They try and do like the social credit program like they do in China. So whoever wearing the Neuralink, you could see or track their good or bad actions and give them a social credit score, you know? There's so many different implications
I just had a dope idea. I'm going to take over the world. I'm going to give women all the control and power of over the world.
Oh, no. You good.
He's crazy.
How
man.
Is that even justifiable in society
now? But this is the kicker. The FDA approved it.
Of course.
The FDA approved it.
FDA.
They approved
these people.
The Federal Drug
All right, I'm
Administration.
Chill.
You know what? So, anyways.
Yeah. Listen.
This month, they're going to have their first human trials. Look out for the Neuralink, y'all. If y'all have certain disabilities or learning aspects y'all need to help with, the Neuralink could definitely help you with that, you know? But it's an experimental phase, so they might be paying for you to be an experiment.
They're paying for you to end up down bad.
Literally.
Like, have you ever seen them joints where they say, oh, if you don't do this, come here, take the number, like, we'll pay you such a, like, they're basically treated as they're as a lab rat.
Yeah.
They guys
as
lab rats. Like, so
you know what? And people are going to do this because they made everybody lab rats during COVID and people went for it. And so now they're like, well, we didn't die this time, so let's try it again. Okay.
You're slowly dying inside.
Oh, my gosh. You know, but hey, Neuralink.
And I got one more crazy topic for y'all. And this is an out-of-country topic, but it's something that a lot of us with kids can relate to. And this is one of our worst nightmares as of recent society. So you have a 13-year-old girl in China, right? She was playing around and, you know, she stumbled upon her mother's debit card, you know?
There you go.
And she ended up spending $64,000 from January this year to May, which was the family's life savings. You know what she spent it on?
That's a lot of yen. But go ahead.
You know what she spent it on?
What? Roblox.
Roblox.
She spent
Minecraft.
It on pay-to-play mobile games on her phones. On her phone. So, boom, she spent $16,000 of that just creating the account. Because, you know, they have the free, then the regular account, then the premium account to unlock all the features or get double experience points. Yeah she spent $16,000 on that. Then she spent another $30,000 on in-game purchases. So, say you want the level up, the power up, or you want the superpower card.
This is getting intense.
Or you want the extra in-game currency. And then she spent the rest on gifting her friends who wanted to buy something. Oh, you need the new outfit, sis? Here you go. Oh, bro, you need that. I got you. 10, 100 for you. They found out because the teacher called the parents saying, hey, I think your child is addicted to pay-to-play mobile games. When the parent went to check the account, they had 7 cents in their account.
Oh, sell the baby.
Yeah, I would
baby, sell the baby, put the baby up for sale. Sell the
yeah, either give the child up for adoption or when you all reach right, 18, okay. You pay me back.
I don't, Jackson, baby, I love you. I love you, Jackson. I love you. But I don't know what daddy would do if you spent $16,000 on paid to play. I just don't know what I would do.
No, $64,000.
Even worse, baby. I don't know. That,
man,
damn.
I love my son to the utmost. Like,
all right.
My child gonna be in G-Rec, the generic stuff from Walmart for the rest
to
of the
year.
You mean having stuff?
Honestly,
you don't know how to grow stuff.
Honestly, I don't know what I would do.
Like, yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I really you because we could sit here and say
and
we would
talk about it.
We would just be sitting here dumbfounded, like how did this happen? Where did I leave my card at? But initially, we gonna be mad as a mug.
Then it's gonna be like, why I didn't catch this? Because it's from January to May. But then again, if this is the savings account, like this is the family life.
How
savings.
Is the card linked to the savings account?
So, yeah,
even reachable.
Yeah, that's
why
what I'm
is that?
Saying.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
That's why I said I don't know what I would do because initially, this is my problem because I left the card out.
Yeah, and that's your kid.
Yeah.
So it's like, you are too smart. Are you reading my account routing number? What are you doing in this? Man.
Yeah, because literally they asked for it. Or maybe, you know, I don't know, 13-year-olds is smarter than back then. They have to do is just scan it, the front and the back, and she was
it's lit. It's on. She's 13? Oh, she knows what she's doing.
She knows
5 months straight going ham. Five months.
Baby, you 13? Oh, no. You getting sent out somewhere.
Yeah, you getting shipped off.
You know, so.
I'm going to my mother. You going to your grandmother's house. you going somewhere far away.
A farm.
For 64,000 days.
Yeah. For how much money you spent, that's how long you're going to be.
You feel me?
Yeah. See, when you're 35.
That's how
it is. Maybe I may be over it. Yeah. Maybe I may have that money back.
Exactly. You know, so for my people out there with kids, you know, be very careful of where you put your wallet. Be careful on
debit cards now. They, also, they know how to, like, yeah, my daughter. Crazy.
Go
like,
monitor them.
Like, I remember we was in the store. My daughter was like, oh, Dad, let me use your card. Da-da-da. I was like, all right, go ahead. I'm watching her.
Yeah.
And she doing it.
In there, she's like, oh, what's your PIN?
Ooh,
out girl. Loud. I'm like, no, baby, I got it.
It's okay.
All right, go
it's
ahead. Right. Press enter. And she did it. She got the receipt. She said, thank you. I was like,
I was showing my son too. He's 8. He was like, I can do it, Mom. I was like, oh.
You can do it.
Yeah.
What you mean you can do yeah. it?
Watch that.
Yeah. But honestly, though, I actually have to attribute that to her mom because you know, for her to know how to do it, her mom lets her do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even that's I'm not mad at it at all. Like, that is definitely like a good skill to have, like, to early, because I was making tapes and working music equipment at, you know, at her age. So it's like, I can't be that mad when she would, this is the, like, the whole, you know, digital currency thing, the whole digital wave. That's
I'm just
her
mad
thing.
If her
notifications
kid,
on. What is y'all
if
doing?
If that's my
well,
kid.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well,
be
I'm
mad.
Talking about as far as like with me monitoring her. Yeah.
I
but
have,
without the monitoring, nah, I keep my cards in my wallet on
I have
me.
Like my stuff on my phone, but and I have my son's account linked to my iPhone.
Yeah.
So I can see what he's downloading at all times.
Yeah.
And it can't get downloaded if it costs money. Yep. He'll send me a request and I'm like, oh.
D9.
Yeah.
You don't even look at it. As soon as you see the
a number
$2.99.
I'm gonna look at my phone. I'm good.
Hey y'all, listen y'all. This is the talk, y'all.
This is the meat
economy.
Oh my god.
You know I had to take off the
boy,
had to take off the do-rag for economy talk, y'all, you know.
He laced like a tight sneaker over there.
Because you know we got some fire flame in the building with this economy talk. We talking about the history of production, music production. Specifically, you know, and since we got Pyrolu Kane on the track, you know, he gonna help me with some of these historical facts and mm-hmm. plug me in on the evolution on what happened, you know. So mm-hmm. for my first point, we got, you know, the earliest music production began in the 19th century, you know. Basically they wasn't quite there yet, but they had the little inventions to capture small pieces of sound, small pieces of video, XYZ, you know. But it wasn't really doing it. What they had something like a wax and like vinyl, and they would like directly record the performance, the live performance directly onto there. Mm-hmm. So back then it was more of a tedious process because this is live. It's not like recording. And you
stop
could,
here.
Yeah, and go back. Nah. You be like, oh, no, I got to catch this.
Yeah.
If you messed up, then that whole record is messed up. You got to wait till their next performance, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we had what? The advent of the magnetic tape in the 1940s through the 60s. And basically, this is where the magnetic tracks really started popping off, you know, because now people were able to do multi-track recordings, you know. First,
that was
it's just
a big help back then.
What happened?
That was a big help.
Yeah,
at that
you
point.
Know, because they just had the one song per vinyl. So now, if you want some on record, you gotta have 10 different vinyls to play 10 different records. So now you get the magnetic tape, you playing the whole album.
Mm. Yeah,
you could go listen to a Red Fox the whole comedy album, you know? So my second point is the rise of the digital, you know? So between the 1970s, 1980s, you know, that marked the shift in the music production. This is when they started getting more, this is when the introduction of DAWs came in. Digital audio workstations, you know, they started putting up the interfaces, but mostly that's because that's when computers started coming out, mm-hmm. late 60s, 70s, you know. So they was like thinking like, okay, this could record the data, I could store the data on here, let me try to do something, you know. So you had a plethora of record companies coming in on this new age stuff. You had people who never even put the vinyl records together. They just hopped right into the digital, copped their first little computer in a studio, and they got to work with it, you know? You also had the emergence of MIDI, musical instrument digital interfaces, you know, and digital synthesizers, you know? And basically, with those computers, they revolutionized it. That's where we start hearing more rock and roll and computerized stuff like that, because you was able to tune it. Mm-hmm. Before, you couldn't really tune it. People playing instruments and singing.
And you know, tell on certain records back in the 70s, like, certain parts, like, when they're playing, like, you could tell, like, especially, like, when it's, especially, like, when I sample, right?
Yeah.
This part of the record sounds different from this part of the record because they're really playing live, and certain times they be flat.
Yeah.
Certain parts. Sometimes it be too loud on certain parts. Yeah. So it's like a lot of those recordings still wasn't perfect, but it was good enough.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because you got to think about it, right? So let's say if it's a band, right? And you got to, if you one person mess up, you got to do the whole thing over.
That costs, like, costs a lot.
Yeah, it costs money. It costs friction. People get mad. So it's like, you know what? We're going to take that part. Forget it. We already done did this 15 times already. Right. We got to go to the next song. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm. So that's why, like, I catch, like, certain parts of the groove. Like, that's why a lot of people, like, can't really sample how I do, because I go crazy. Like, I be taking things, like, that's on the grid, off the grid. Like, I be pulling stems. Like, it's straight sound manipulation. And that all comes from me working with, like, equipment back in the day. And working with the EQ. I'm like, all right, if I turn this down to bass, all right, if I turn this down, I don't hear no vocals. All right, so if I turn this up, I can hear the vocals, but no beat.
That's a fact.
All right, so I was already working with that type of stuff just in the house.
Okay, because so, you was already exposed to that based on your background.
So with me sampling now, is I have and also with other people along the way, like, teaching me how to sample.
Yeah.
And me having prior knowledge and putting that all together and really sample how I do. Like, you know, so.
That's a fact, you know. And then my third point is, you know, it was like a shift between the late 90s and early 2000s, you know, where people started using the actual studio itself to actually affect the sound of the music, you know? So you have producers like George Martin and Brian Eno, you know, they began using the recording studio itself. Because prior to that, people had certain equipments, but they didn't have all of the stuff. And with the music industry, every year things is upgrading,
change,
leveling up, you know. So now they come to the point where they have the technology to do the multi-tracking system, but they don't need the magnetic tape no more. You know, everything is digital. They have the effect processing to where you can add certain effects to the music. That's why in the early 2000s you got the boom, 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 and then you got the like DJ Clue, you know, Desert Storm type stuff. They started plugging in the ad-libs and all that.
Dropping the bombs.
You know?
Flex.
Yeah.
Dropping bombs. But now with the, you talking about the Clue, the famous Clue echo chamber.
Yeah,
like,
you know?
You know what I'm saying? Honestly, like, I want to say that actually, like, came off his mixer. That was his thing. Like, he wasn't in, like, from actually what I know that's put out there. Like, a lot of those Clue tapes that we love was made in his basement.
Okay.
Like dudes were literally, like, you know, ex Mason, all them would come to his mom's basement and spit those freestyles. All those Clue freestyles are from his mom's basement.
He got plenty of mixtapes.
So it's like it was made in his mom's basement. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, so, you know, of course it ain't no, it, like, the only thing that's down there is the turntables, the mic, and, like, you know, and, like, a lot of duplicators and stuff.
The fact.
So, you know, of course they may have, like, a little effects because he's a DJ.
The fact.
So, you know, so once he got over to the studio, it sounded crispier.
Exactly.
But the rawness gave the feeling of it when you straight driving down the street back then, and you hear Clue tape, like, yeah.
So would you say that
parties.
with the introduction of the studio, that's where the actual creative,
the always been here.
Creative role, the producer came more into play? Because before it was like you the DJ and stuff, but now since you got more tools and stuff, you could really produce it the way that you actually want to do it. Versus you just got to work off a recording.
So producing has always been here. Production is not always someone physically touching a drum machine. It's not someone always physically doing something. That's like, you're good on drums, you're good on the guitar, and you can sing. So I could put all you guys together and make something happen. I just produced a song with all of us.
Okay.
Because I individually, so you could sing, you're this, you're that. So I could make something around that, boom, and you guys could start something and I could finish it.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like, it was that until the 1980s, like 82.
Okay.
Mind you, I'm born 91. So I wasn't there, but I know the history of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So it's like, so with like, all right, so with like the Sugar Hill Gang, right? Like, you know, the Rapper's Delight joint.
Yeah.
That's actually a live beat.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
not no drum machine. It wasn't until Africa Bimbada and Planet Rock and all them started using like the TR-808 and all that, because that's when it came, 1982, that's when the TR-808 and all that came out. Facts. Like the MIDI and all that, that's when all that came into play.
Okay.
So that's why, from 82 and on, like, that's when, like, you got guys, that's when you was able to have guys like me to be on the drum machine and actually sit with the engineer.
To build some shit.
Yeah, so, because honestly, like, a producer had to have an engineer back then. Mm. Like, because, you know, bring it up to the 1990s, when a lot of guys using the MPC or the SP-1200, you got to bring your drum machine to the actual studio to actually track the beat.
Yeah.
Now, for those who don't know what tracking the beat is, it's hooking the beat up to the mixing board and taking all the individual sounds. It basically, you know, like the stems.
Yeah.
Getting the stems.
Okay.
So, but the thing is, you gotta play, but it's not like on a computer where I could just grab the stems without playing the song. They will literally have to play the whole joint.
Yeah.
Like, and if you mess it up, they had to go back and do it again. And it brings back to the tape.
Yeah.
You know, so like a lot of those tapes was either from $50 to $100 a tape. So that's why a lot of producers was getting money back then, because that right there, Pash is making the beat, just lugging your stuff to track the beat. Sometimes it took 4 to 8 hours.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah. It's labor. Like, it's so horrible. Like,
it's horrible.
That's why, like,
that reminds me of like the Temptations. When they was in the studio trying to get the beat right.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
It was like, we're going to keep this right here.
Yeah, we're going to keep that.
Rather than us do it over again and it sounds all right, but it's one part that's messed up.
Yeah.
You're going to just run with it.
Exactly. Right? So. Because it's too much time to go back just to sing up to that one part.
It's no point.
And on top of that, the money, the time was limited and they needed their stuff and things was flowing. Nah.
You had to be good back then.
Yeah,
good. Had to be good.
That, like, if you now go back and to listen, like, a lot of, like, oldies, like, they're, like, the reason why we have attachments to them because of the feeling.
Yeah.
Not because of how they were, how they were produced, yes, but the feeling of it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of those songs really came with feeling and really came with real live emotion.
Fact.
So you can't produce that. You can only produce the underbed of what you put your soul on, like put your life on. Like, I can't tell you what to say.
Facts.
Like, I can't say, yo, I need you to, nah, whatever it tells you to do, that's what you're going to do.
Exactly, you know? And, you know, I got two points on some history before we get into Would You Rather. You know, and the first point is, with the usage of the dials, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dials and the MIDIs, you know, it gave people the ability to start making music at home. You know, before, you have to go find a producer, go to the studio, see if you like the studio, pay the producer, schedule a valid time, make sure you have nothing else set up. Now you could just do it at home. You know?
That's true.
And then what the second point is, the impact of streaming and social media, you know? So you got a lot of producers that came up in the last 4 or 5 years, you know, that make songs and beats just for, like, TikTok, Instagram, just for shorts, just for reels, you know? So now it's like, as a producer, there's so many different lanes you could go into due to social media, you know? So where do you see yourself in 5 years with the social media and your music production, Pyro?
To be completely honest, I see myself, well, even though I own everything, but owning everything on a higher tier, like really like licensing my stuff everywhere. Like, all right, so I see myself in 5 years really licensing all my catalog out so it could bring back the revenue.
Yeah.
That is really supposed to have.
Yeah.
Alongside of that, really just developing my own artists, developing my own label, developing my own producers. Like, I really want to, honestly, like, as far as, like, the artist is concerned, like, that actually takes a lot of money to break an artist.
Yeah.
I would much rather deal with my producers, engineers, and directors.
Because there's way more ways for they can monetize other than like, just having
it could be monetized, like, it could be for themselves and for the company. Like, so it's like, I'm really geared towards the guys that don't get deals like that. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, so that's what I want to do. Like, I, like, other than, like, you know, being video games and movies and things of that nature, really, like, giving the guys that who actually matter a chance, a lane.
That's
like
a
the producers, engineers, and directors.
Fire.
Like, you know what I'm
Love
saying?
That.
So, and also, like, having my own publishing company too.
Yeah.
So that's a couple of my 5 year spills, but
okay.
I
feel like a lot of those are gonna come before 5 years, but
yeah, you know, it's just got set that time.
Yeah, outlook,
you know,
yeah.
I like that.
So yeah, everybody, that was today's Economy Talk featuring Pyro Lucane on how to be a producer, the history of it, the evolution of it, you know. So if you want to get more in tune, like, share, comment, you already know. We're getting into Would You Rather.
Yes, yes.
Oh man.
Damn.
Would you rather?
Well, my first would you rather, folks, since we got Pyro here, we're going to go into music. So would you rather make a song with your favorite artist, but it gets subpar reviews, or would you rather make a beat for a random artist that hits the Billboard 100?
I feel like this is where integrity comes in. I feel like it's where integrity comes in for me.
I'm going to go with the random artist. Because I'm going to be like, yeah, I took a random artist, got to Billboard. Give me anybody. I'm P. Diddy in here.
All right. I don't even want to get into the semantics of it because this is only a would you rather.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just be, I'm just going to just go with. Because I'm just going to go with the random.
Okay.
Random.
I'm going to go with the random.
Well, y'all know me. I dare to be different. I'm going to go with my favorite artist. I don't care if it don't get a lot of reviews. It's just the fact that that's what I wanted to do. So,
that's true. Yeah.
Period. It was never about it getting notoriety off of it. It's about me fulfilling myself. So.
Yeah. But it's what's crazy, though, is like I'm in the business of both.
Yeah,
exactly. That's
like
why
I'm in the business of both, so it's like
it value
could, so
more.
Like my like so it's like my so it could come either way. So it's like, you know, my favorite artist next to Big is Nas.
Oh,
so yeah. It's like, you know, like, you know, like I know, like I know personally how I feel about it.
Yeah,
like, you know what I'm saying. Like, but as far as business and all that other stuff, and I just
get tricky.
It really does get tricky though. It does. Because I'm in the business of both, so
you can't.
I know, I feel you.
He can't choose.
I really can't choose. It'll just. I don't know.
Facts. So keeping on the topic, you know, my would you rather is in the same field, but it's like, would you rather 1% of a record that you produce, but it sold 500 million records, or would you like complete ownership of the record you produce, but only sells 1,000 records?
Y'all playing with this man pocket too much.
Nah, this is good though. This is good stuff. Honestly, 1,000, like, once again, have to go into, I don't want to go into the semantics of like how much was the product sold. I only made 1,000. I only got that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So it's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
So
versus 1% of 500 million records on a song you produced, you know.
I mean, is it 5 million? 500? You said 500 million streams.
500 million records, or what? What's
is it? Is it physical records or streams? Because it's two different. Because if it's physical,
oh my gosh. If it's,
like yeah. So like nah.
Okay. Everything is
well.
It is though.
It does. It makes a huge
but
difference.
Say, we're gonna say records physical. So either you did.
Oh, give me the 1%.
Okay.
Yeah, give me the 1%. Give me the because honestly, like, once that transfer over, is lit. Like it's lit. Once that transfers over and you are on top of your business, so to make sure it transfers over to you. When it goes from physical to digital, oh yeah, give me that 1%.
Versus the complete ownership.
Yeah.
Over the 1,000.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Give me the 1%.
Got one more. So would you rather wear a dress in a movie for $20 million or $250K for a basic role in a movie?
You men.
And then for a female, would you rather wear like a beard in a movie, like a full grown man beard, or take that $250K for?
Well, I'm making my own movie.
What's the compensation for the beard?
Yeah, so you get $20 million.
I get $20 million for the beard.
Yeah,
it gotta be an organic beard.
It's whatever the
they gotta glue it onto you and make it as real life as possible. Like you're
not because I'm a killer beard. I'm gonna look fly. I'm gonna.
Oh no! I'm give my $250K, please.
Yeah, give me that twenty mil for
give
the beard.
Give my $250K. I'm not putting on no dress at all. You know,
it's just a beard.
Nah, don't you gotta put on the dress?
No,
$250K.
No, for the $20 million.
$20 million, you gotta put. Oh,
$250K is for the regular role. I'll be a regular person. Role?
Yeah, give me the regular role.
Yeah,
give me the regular role. Forget that.
Like, I will wear my
get
nice
the dresses.
My nice Muslim garb beard.
Like she gonna cut a beard bomb with the sea moss.
Yup. She's gonna be looking spiffy. Don't play with it.
Alrighty. So yeah, you got would you rather?
I don't have a would you rather. Y'all would you rather me out today?
I guess we'll jump into the lifestyle in depth for you folks. So we're going to be talking about finding balance in life on Lifestyle in Depth. And with number one, to get right into it, we're going to be talking about prioritizing your self-care. Mm. And it's doing what you need to do to whatever makes you happy or healthy. And be realistic when it comes to, you know, the happy part. You know, don't just go on a vacation when you're behind in bills and just for your happiness. Like, so be realistic with it. Number two, for helping out that balance in your life, you got to start setting some boundaries. So define your limits, what supports you versus what detracts you from your well-being. Openly communicate your boundaries to people in your life. And if you have to, you know, remind them that this is what's going on. This is what I'm sticking to. And if you have to, say no. You know, it's not hard to say no. With number three, talking about seek support when it's needed. So it all comes to those times when we do need help, we do need support. Recognize that you need help, and asking for it indicates that yourself and others, it's okay to reach out when it's in need. This normalizes that we all at some time require some help or support. Asking for help can indicate better performance for ourselves and others, improving connections within the culture. So, you know, help the neighbor and then help him lift him up, you know. And that gets us further around the world, you know. Like, everybody just helping each other is the best way to, you know, prosper.
Yes, sir.
And number four, we talking about expand your awareness. You know, you got to get out there. You got to get outside. You got to take a class. Learn to paint. Try something new, you know. It's always something new to learn, you know, especially with how technology is growing today. You don't got to deep dive into everything, but at least have a little bit knowledge of the surface of the idea. And, you know, find things that uplift you, you know, to help out that balance in your life. And just to close this out, you know, so going forward with this attitude, not only you could change yourself, but you could change the world. So just be mindful of that, you know, that balance in your life and having full control. This is Lifestyle in Depth. And what we got out to close the episode. We don't gotta, you did it this, did it to yourself this week, but this has definitely been a dope, eventful episode.
Yeah, it has been. Yeah, for real. You know, shout out to everybody, you know. Yeah, we got full house today, you know.
Definitely did our thing, for real. You
know? Yeah, I love this. It's a, it was a good episode.
With Pyro Lou Kane, he's going to be at the Crunch Music Festival up in Hartford, Connecticut, July 2nd. He's going to be performing there. And right now, he got his album out, Never Get Comfortable. Mm. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that name right there.
Facts,
so
facts.
It's out on all platforms. If y'all want to go tune it in, check it out.
Yeah.
I was checking out the video as well on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, that was fire. Oh, good. In the record store?
Oh, yeah. Yo. Shout out to my bro, Y-Shot Essence. He the one who shot that for me. Like, we actually shoot our own videos.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he the one who shoots them for me. I'm the one who edits it up. You know what I'm saying? Edit up, cut it up, and all that. So, you know.
Anything else you want to tell the people?
Where to find you?
Oh, yo, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter. Yeah, that's it. At PYROLUCAIN, Pyro Lou Kane. And I also got a new single dropping June 28th. She got that. Parentheses, Spend the Night.
Hey, it's fire. You know? Well, I'm Shoot the Artist.
I'm No Face Rel.
That's Serena Seamoss Queen.
And Pyro Lou Kane.
This is the Nah Mean Show. Nah Mean.
He always does this at the end of the episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
'Kane. Let me let you know what I've been on. I separate detonators instead of false smoke alarms. Your existence isn't proper pawns on the board of life. It took me.